Please, O Lord, our God, make the words of your Torah sweet in our mouths. Please, O Lord, our God, make the words of your Torah sweet in our mouths, in the mouths of your people, in the mouths of the house of Israel, in the mouths of your people, in the mouths of the house of Israel.
And a very special Shabbat it is for a number of reasons, but one of the main reasons is we have Rabbi Mark with us today. And you know, very grateful to this guy. I want to tell you why, and why we could all be grateful. See, I have these great four kids, and I had this eldest son and this middle son, Dave and Dan, who had no wives. I'll put this in biblical idiom. There was no wives for them. But Mark introduced Dave to Serena because he had known their family. And voila, three grandchildren later. Mark, thank you. Okay? Now, Dan, of course, had no wife. But Serena had a younger sister, Tessa. They're both very athletic. They shared one pull-up, and that was it, you know? And so I'm very grateful for Mark at a personal level. But there is really a deeper reason that I think we have to be grateful for Mark, because among the theological minds of Jewish people who embrace Yeshua, Mark has conceptualized how the church and Israel relate to each other, and therefore how a Messianic Jewish synagogue should think of itself, with more sophistication and nuance and more depth of understanding of not only the Bible, but also the historic experience of these two communities and how we can relate together. He's done it better than anybody else. And this afternoon, I'll tell you more about this. We'll have a seminar, or rather an interview. I'm going to be interviewing Mark and another mystery guest who I'll introduce to you later. But we are very privileged to have Mark here today. He will be back for a much longer seminar in November. We'll tell you more about that later. But let us welcome Ruach style, Rabbi Dr. Mark Kinzer. Come on up here, Mark.
Shalom. Be with you again. It's been a while, but I've been here at Ruach many, many times over the years, and it's always a joy to be together with you. I want to speak about the Haftorah reading and really about all of the Haftorah readings of the next 7 weeks, which Dave mentioned to you. These are very special Haftorahs. They all come from the prophet Isaiah between chapters 40 and 66. This is a very special part of Isaiah. These are chapters that all speak about Geulah, redemption. They all speak about the return from exile. And what I want to speak about today is the theme of Geulah, redemption, through exile, Galut. Now, there are some teachers in the Christian world, actually very, very good teachers. One of a Christian theologian who I admire very much. And one of his central teachings, the importance of this notion of Galut and Geulah in Brit Chadashah, in the teaching of Yeshua and in the description in Brit Chadashah of what Yeshua does. That His death is a kind of exile. His resurrection is the restoration. It is Geulah. And according to this teaching, Geulah is simply present now with the resurrection of Yeshua and available to everybody who desires it. And everybody who simply does not accept that Geulah is simply, among the Jews, in Galut. These are Galut and Geulah, exile and redemption. They're these two completely separate categories. And the resurrection of Yeshua basically has done all that needs to be done. And of course, there's a little mopping up operation that still needs to occur. And of course, Yeshua will return someday and there will be a new world. But fundamentally, Ge'ulah is here. Now, this is not entirely wrong, but it's mostly wrong. You know, there's another kind of teaching and perception about Ge'ulah and Galut, which would be more familiar. It's one that we can find in the Jewish world. It's one that we can also find in the Messianic Jewish world, and which we can also find in certain segments of the Christian world. In this view, the events of the last 70 years have initiated the Ge'ulah, the redemption. And there's this recognition that Galut, exile, was a much more profound reality than was understood by these other teachers of the New Testament that I referred to earlier. That there are many levels of Galut. Of course, the one fundamental level is the Jewish people were not present in the land. And God's promises of Ge'ulah that we find in Isaiah 40 through 66 are nothing if they are not promises to the Jewish people of a return to the land, a return to Jerusalem. But for many of these Jewish interpreters, there's still the sense that Ge'ulah redemption is to be understood as the negation, the total negation of Galut, of exile. It is an absolute reversal of exile. You know, the Jewish people went into exile in the year 70, and in the period between 70 and the return of Jews to the land, almost nothing really good happened. You know, it's a time of Jewish weakness. It's a time when we are oppressed by the goyim. It's a time where all we did was humiliate ourselves. And then what happens with the emergence of Zionism and the return of Jewish people to the land is we are empowered and we're taking our fate and our destiny into our own hands. We are renewed in a sense of power and of confidence. And everything that happened in Galut is basically negated. Our life now in the land of Israel is a kind of leaping over 1900 years of history to get back to when Jews were strong, like the Zealots, you know, like those at Masada, like the Maccabees, King David. That's one vision that you find in some places in the Jewish world. You also find something like this in certain segments of the Christian world. Christians who realize that when the church lost its sense of the importance of the Jewish people and lost its sense that the Torah really was God's gift to the Jewish people, Christians who realize that in a certain sense, the church, in losing that awareness, went into exile. When the church lost the city of Jerusalem, you know, and lost the fact that there was a community of Jewish believers in Yeshua in the city of Jerusalem, at the heart, the very heart of the community of the faithful in Messiah. In a sense, the body of Messiah went into exile and experienced Galut. This is true. Some Christians are coming to the awareness of this. And the response is to say we went so wrong for 1,800 years or 1,900 years. What we need to do is, again, negate everything that happened in that period of time and try to restore this first century reality with Jerusalem as our center and with a special kind of love for the Jewish people and with a respect for the Torah. In fact, for some of these Christians, all the Christians are supposed to be keeping all of the Torah as well. Get rid of all these pagan Christian holidays that emerged in 1800 or 1900 years, and let's get back to the Jewish core. This is also, in the Christian end, something that corresponds to that radical anti-galut perspective that you find in the Jewish world. It's to say the church went into galut, and we simply have to negate that galut in order to enter into Geulah, redemption, into to experience the beginning of the redemption along with the Jewish people. And there are many Messianic Jews who actually share in the perspective both that some Jews have that I've just described of Galut and Geulah, and that some Christians have, feeling like for us, we Jewish believers in Yeshua, we've been in Galut for the last 1900 years. There have been Jewish believers in Yeshua throughout the centuries, but our life was lived in an assimilated form in the midst of the church. We were in exile. And so, for us, what Geulah then sometimes seemed like is a simple negation of those 18 or 19 centuries. We have to get away from anything having to do with the church, of course. And we have to get away from also all of that cumbersome Jewish tradition that also was simply part of Galut for the Jewish people. And we simply have to do is restore this pure, pristine, first century reality that's described in the book of Acts. Now, these perspectives are not completely wrong, but they are missing something very, very important. What they're missing is that Geulah, redemption, is not merely the negation and reverse of Galut, of exile. That, in fact, Galut is the pathway to Geulah. You have to go through Galut in order to get to Geulah. And in fact, I believe this is central to Isaiah 40 through 66. And by central, I mean literally central. Isaiah 40 through 66 primarily are these glorious chapters, these remarkable chapters about the glory of Jerusalem, the glory of God manifested in the midst of his people. All of God's people will be righteous, and the word will go out to the nations of the world who will all acknowledge and recognize who God is, the God of Israel. But you know, in chapters 40 through 66, you can do the count. There are how many chapters? Well, 27. People would often say 26, but you have to count that zero. From 40, 27 chapters. So, what chapter is at the very center of all of those chapters? Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 is at the very center of Isaiah 40 through 66. And Isaiah 53, we think about it often in isolation from all those other chapters. You know, we pull it out as Messianic Jews, and we give tracts out with Isaiah 53, and we talk to people about Isaiah 53 without ever even thinking about its context. It's not in the middle of nowhere. Isaiah 53 is part, absolutely, literally central to Isaiah 40 through 66. And Isaiah 53 is not just a prophecy of Yeshua. It is a prophecy about the life of Israel. It is, in my understanding, and in the light of Yeshua's own teaching and work, it is a teaching about how the life of Yeshua and the death of Yeshua, resurrection of Yeshua, are bound up with the suffering and the redemption of the Jewish people. These are not simply two things that Isaiah 53 speaks about, Yeshua on the one hand and the Jewish people on the other. This is one thing that has these two aspects to it. And when we look at the very life of Yeshua, and the death of Yeshua, and the resurrection of Yeshua, we find that it is actually inseparable from what happens in the 71st century. Yeshua speaks about his death in advance as the tevilah, the immersion, the baptism with which he must be immersed. He speaks about it as the cup that he must drink. And these are two images, the cup and of these waters that go back to the prophets and the Psalms. These are images of judgment. And what he is saying is the judgment that Yohanan the Immerser spoke about that was coming upon the Jewish people, that judgment which comes one generation later, 40 years after Yeshua and Yohanan are on the scene, that Yeshua's cross, his death, his suffering, is in anticipation of that event. He is experiencing in advance what Israel will experience later. And this bond between the death of Yeshua and the destruction of Jerusalem, between Israel, Yeshua's experience of Galut and Israel's experience of Galut, this is intimate. The two are so tied together that we're not supposed to be able to understand either one apart from the other. On the one hand, we can say that there is a judgment that falls upon Israel, which is so clear within Berit Chadashah, within the Bissorot, that God is looking upon Israel and seeing that Israel has been unfaithful to him. In the times of the first, God sent the prophets. God sent his word, and Israel was unfaithful. The climax of those sendings was the coming of Yeshua. And in the resistance of our leaders and the resistance of our people to that message, the fate of Israel in the year 70 was sealed. And so, yes, part of what the connection is between 70 and 30 is a judgment. That's only half of the story. The other half of the story, I think, is that in Yeshua's tasting of the suffering of exile in advance, he was making it possible for Galut to be a means of redemption for Israel. He was transforming Galut itself so that it would not simply be judgment, not simply be punishment, not simply be a negative, but that Israel could experience renewal in the midst of Galut. And this is exactly what happens. You know, many, many people in the world and many Gentile believers in Yeshua in the second century thought that with the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 and then with the second destruction of Jerusalem in the Bar Kokhba revolt in the 130s, that basically the Jewish people would simply fade from view. With no more capital city, with no temple, with no spiritual center, then there would be no Judaism and there would be no Jewish people. Of course, the opposite happened. Our people regathered with a new spiritual center, and our zeal only increased. Our commitment to our tradition only deepened. A whole new leadership grew up around the sages of Yavna and their move to the Galil. And a whole rich tradition and Jewish civilization emerged that didn't simply survive. It prospered. It flourished. The Galut was not something purely negative. It became something beautiful in a certain sense. Still a sense of judgment present, but something else present as well. The reality of Isaiah 53. The sense that the suffering of Israel was a purification, a cleansing, a form of renewal. A sense that Geulah would come not simply as the negation of Galut, but through Galut. And I think we can see the same thing in the life of the church, though sometimes this is harder for some of us. As I said, there was a kind of Galut that occurred as the church lost its moorings in relationship to the Jewish people, in relationship to Judaism. The church lost that spiritual center, which had also been the Jewish spiritual center, the city of Jerusalem. But that's not the entire story. As many things as there are in the history of the church that we can grieve over, particularly in relationship to the Jewish people, the fact is that the light of Yeshua has shone in the midst of the nations. That hundreds of thousands and millions and tens of millions and hundreds of millions of the Goyim have come to know the God of Israel, have come to study and base their lives on the Hebrew Scriptures. How else would we be having people in underground churches in China having some kind of special love for the Jewish people? Why would they have any concern for such things? It's only because of this tradition that has been passed on from generation to generation. This love for the Word of God that now has borne new kind of fruit in our own day. It hadn't existed in the previous centuries if it hadn't been carried from generation to generation in the midst of the church. Yes, many within the church are coming to a rediscovery of the importance of the Jewish people in Judaism, and this is a wonderful thing. This is a kind of aspect of Geulah. But we're sadly mistaken if then we see this as a negation of everything that happened in the previous 18 or 19 centuries. There is much of God's redemptive power in every generation of the followers of Yeshua for the last 2,000 years. And we'll never get to Geulah by negating the Galut in which the church has also found itself. And then once again, we as Messianic Jews, we the heirs of both of these histories, these traditions, how much more do we need to recognize that we only get to Geulah through Galut? Not through negating our past, but through recognizing God's redemptive power in the midst of it. Now, in our tradition, and now I'm thinking of the tradition of Ruach and the tradition of congregations there, Avraham and Ann Arbor, the other congregations that are linked to us, we have a special reading cycle from the Besorot, from the Berit Chadashah during these 7 weeks as well. You know, we have 3 weeks of prophetic readings in the Haftorah before the 9th of Av, in which we have 3 weeks of admonition. And in our practice, we have readings about the crucifixion of Yeshua. And then in these 7 weeks in which we read these wonderful haftorahs of Geulah, of redemption, from Isaiah 40 through 66, we read about the resurrection of Yeshua. Because the death and the resurrection of Yeshua are bound up with the life of Israel, suffering and with its redemption. Now, could we ever be tempted to think that life in Yeshua is all about resurrection? Well, maybe we could be tempted to think that, certain forms of a prosperity teaching perhaps, you know, but I don't think any of us are probably tempted to think that. The only way we experience the power of the resurrection is also by experiencing the power of Yeshua's death and his suffering. The two are intimately bound together. You only get to the resurrection through the crucifixion. The resurrection is not merely a negation of the crucifixion. In fact, the resurrected Yeshua still has those holes in his hands, in his feet, in his side. In the picture of the resurrection that we get in the ascension of the book of Revelation, we have that sense of the lamb, that picture of the lamb who is all bloodied. You know, we're expecting this picture simply of the Lion of Judah, the great victorious one. And what you've got is this one like a lamb, all slain. And he's the one who goes and takes the scroll and opens its seals. He is the one who is the Lamb of God. He is the one who is the Lion of Judah. He's both. You can't have the Lion of Judah without having the crucified lamb. They're one and the same. We cannot have resurrection if we do not share with Yeshua in his suffering. And we cannot have Geulah, redemption, unless we go through Galut and experience its redemptive power. We cannot experience all of the riches of Isaiah 40 through 52 and 54 through 66 unless our lives are deeply touched by Isaiah 53. And so I think that for us as Jewish disciples of Yeshua, as those in the Messianic Jewish movement, these are very important words for us, because we can be tempted to go in one of these other kinds of directions in which we seek to find Geulah apart from Galut. But our lives will be impoverished if we do, and our message will be compromised. We have a message to bring to the church and to the Jewish people. We have a message to bring to Jews also in the churches. And it's not simply a message of give up everything good that you've experienced in the last 1,800 years and come join us. Instead, it's a message of Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami. It's a calling to us to bring words of consolation, of strength, of encouragement, and of renewal. And to be able to find in the midst of the good things that God has done over the last 2,000 years. In the midst of galut, in the midst of the judgment, in the midst of the darkness, in the midst even of the sin and the rebellion, what we find are these rays of light. What we find is Ge'ulah through galut. May these realities be part of our lives as individuals and as families and as communities, and may they be part of our message that we have to bring both to the church and to the Jewish people. Shabbat shalom.
May your descendants and the descendants of your people Israel be those who know your name and study your Torah for Messiah.